I want us to open our Bibles, first of all, in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. And then we'll turn to the book of James and the chapter number 5. But first of all, 1 Kings chapter 18. Let's follow the word of God as we would read a few verses of this passage of God's truth. Verse number 39, 1 Kings chapter 18. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So Elijah went up to eat and to drink, and Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the Mount of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." It came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now keep your hand there because we'll be back in a moment. Turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And it says this in verse number 16. James 5 verse 16. "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Amen. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible word of truth. In the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, there's a little statement that we find in verse number 41 that I want to draw your attention to this morning. Verse 41, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." For there is the sound of abundance of rain. Now, whenever Elijah said those words, I want to remind you of this fact. He said, there is a sound of abundance of rain. Yet as far as any human ear could hear, there was nothing of the sort. No man heard any sound whatsoever. And you say, therefore, why did Elijah say those words? Because Elijah knew that this sound that he could hear was in the hearing of faith. It was a hearing of faith. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith." You see, the psalmist said, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him." And God's child, Elijah, was able to say those words with confidence. He said this. He said, "Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is," not there might be, or that we hope there be. Remember the situation in the land at that time. There was no rain for 3.5 years. Absolutely none. Not even a drop. The land was absolutely parched. The land was completely dry. In actual fact, people had died because there was no rain in the land. And yet Elijah stood this in the presence of King Ahab, and he said these words, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Now, whenever you read 1 Kings chapter 18, you find that Elijah prayed two prayers. The first prayer was a public prayer. It's found there in this passage of God's word in verse number 36 and 37. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell." And so the first prayer that Elijah prayed in this chapter was a public prayer, and it is important for God's people to meet together in the place of prayer, not forgetting the assembling of yourselves together. And you know, whenever the church of God gathered together in that upper room, it says that they gathered together there in the upper room, and the disciples continued with one another in prayer and supplication. And so it's important for God's people to publicly gather together and to pray together, and to pray the one with the other and the one for the other. And here we find that Elijah's praying a public prayer in front of a crowd of people and in front of an unbelieving king. But he cried unto God and he said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me." And God did. And it says, and then the fire of the Lord fell. The second prayer was a private prayer. And friend, whilst it is true that it is so important for God's people to meet together to pray, it is also important for God's people to be a people of prayer in the private, to get alone with God, and to seek the face of God alone in prayer. Now, I do believe that there are prayers and things that you can pray for in private that you ought not to pray for in public. I believe there you've got to use wisdom, and God gives wisdom to his people. And I've heard people foolishly pray for things in public that they ought not to have said. That it should have been taken before God alone in the private place. But friend, there is a public place of prayer and there is a private place of prayer. And Elijah here in this latter part, the Bible says that Elijah fell on his face. He fell on his knees before the Lord. And as he fell on his knees before God, he cried unto God for the blessing. It says in verse number 42, he cast himself down upon the earth and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up and look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And so therefore he's praying before God. What's he praying for? He's praying for God to send rain. Now remember, this is the same person that prayed 3.5 years before this. And he says, "God, shut up the heavens. Lord, don't send the rain." And now he's praying, "God, send rain." I want us to look at that prayer this morning, and I want us to learn some things about it. And I pray that it will instruct your heart and your life as well. Notice, first of all, it was a prayer of faith. Because this was a prayer, my friend, that didn't come out of Elijah's own heart. It was one that was implanted in his heart by God himself. And whenever he prayed this, he was praying in the center of the will of God, and he was resting upon the promises of God. You say, how do I know that? Well, turn to verse number 1 of the 18th chapter, and it says this, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." So whenever Elijah was praying for this, my friend, this wasn't out of his own heart. This was something that he knew he was praying in the very center of the will of God. And he was founding and grounding his prayer on the promise of God, because God had promised it. And my friend, when you and I know the mind of God about something and know the will of God about something, then you and I can pray believing prayers with great authority, knowing that God has promised he's going to give it. God has promised it. God said, listen, not that I might send rain upon them. God says, I will. I will. And therefore, whenever Elijah fell on his face before God, friend, I want to tell you this. God was going to answer this prayer because God had made the promise of the answer. Now, in between, God sent the fire. There had to be the judgment of God. There had to be God stepping in and the turning of the hearts of the people, because before the fire fell, my friend, Elijah cried unto God, and God heard his cry. And whenever that happened, the people turned to God. This is a people that were worshiping Baal. This is a people that turned away from God. And what did they cry out? The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And they turned their heart back to God. And whenever the people had repented and had turned back to God, and the judgment of God had come upon that land, now God is bringing his favor again upon the nation who had turned back to him. And Elijah prayed to God, God send the rain. Because God sent it as you promised. As I said, 3.5 years before that, he said, God, stop the rain. But God says, now I will send it. And what he's doing here is praying in faith, believing, knowing that he is praying in the center of the will of God and accordance to the will of God. This is what 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Seeking the face of God for his will, friend, is so important upon a great need. Now, people ask me this question. Well, listen, whenever Elijah knew that God was going to send the rain, why did Elijah have to ask God for to send the rain? Because, friend, it's simple. God has ordained it that way. God wants his people to ask. Turn for a moment to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. And in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, this is what it says. And, well, we haven't time to read from verse 24. But God promises things we'll do. He says in verse 26, a new heart also will I give you. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you. Verse 29, I will also save you from all your uncleanness. Verse 30, I will multiply the fruit. And notice, I will, I will, I will, I will. God has made those promises of things that he's going to do. But then turn to verse 36. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. God wants you to inquire him. God wants you to pray to him. And God says, I will yet for this be inquired of you by the house of Israel to do it for them. And so God wants us to come to him in believing prayer. And God has promised to do great things for Israel, friend. But he says he will do it for them in answer to prayer. That's why it's important for God's people to pray. We're to pray always and not to faint. Prayer time is not a waste of time. It's the most important time. The prayer time before the service is a preparation of the heart of God's people and the heart of the preacher as he steps into the pulpit to do battle for the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important to pray. And when we know we're praying, in the mind and the will of God, friend, then we can pray believingly, believingly. We know we have it because he has promised that he will give an answer to prayer. The second thing about it is this, that this was a secret place of prayer. It was a secret place of prayer. In verse number 42 it says, "And Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of the mountain, and he cast himself down upon his knees, and he put his face between his knees." He got alone with God to pray. And that is very important, to get alone with God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ frequently practiced this. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." In Matthew chapter 26, "My soul," verse 38, "my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye and watch with me." Remember, this was the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter, James, and John went with him. And then it says this, "And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed." He was alone with his Father. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Let me ask you this question and ask my own heart. How much time do you spend alone? Not in the public place, but in the private place. Alone with God, you and the Lord, in fellowship with God, friends, seeking God's face alone. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he went up unto the mountain to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone, and he spent all night, unto the fourth watch of the night, he spent all night in prayer, seeking his Father's face. It was the secret place a prayer. Remember the old hymn that was said, "Are you laid aside from service, body worn, from toil and care?" There's a place still in God's battle, in the secret place of prayer. Little as much when God is in it. I remember when I came to the Ravenhill Church, before Martyrs Memorial came into existence, and the Ravenhill Church and the Ravenhill Road, as Dr. Paisley's assistant, I was asked to do Dr. Paisley's visitation as a young lad, just 19 years of age. I remember going to this home of a dear sister on Ballarat Street in Belfast. Never forgot it. I remember going to her to minister. She was a lady that was shut in. Every bone in her body that I could see was twisted and turned with arthritis. She couldn't move. All she could do was just sit in her little chair, so broken with arthritis. I remember after reading God's word and spending some time and reading God's word and saying a wee word and then getting before the Lord in prayer, praying. And I was about, I said the final amen, and I was about to lift my head, and this little twisted hand came on the top of my head. And this wee sister said to me, "Mr. McRae, just stay in prayer." And she started to pray. You know, I heard a sister pray that was riddled with pain. No, she said to the Lord, she says, "Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that I'm the way I am. I can't move around, but Lord, I can come to you in prayer." And as God's children go out to battle and preach the word, there she was, backing them up in prayer. She never took a pulpit, friend, but there was power in her prayer, in the secret place of prayer. My mother was lying in hospital. My mother always prayed out at home. I used to sit outside my mother's bedroom door and hear my mother pray. I heard her pray for me. And as a child, I didn't have to ask, did my mother know and love the Lord, friend? I knew she did. I heard her pray. One day I went into the hospital before my mother died. I went into the hospital. This young Roman Catholic male nurse, he called me over and he said to me, "Mr. McRae, is that your mother?" I said, "Yes, it is." This is what he said to me. He says, "My, but doesn't she love Jesus?" He said, "I heard her pray." Then let me ask you, Do you pray? Do you pray? I'm not saying do you utter prayers. Do you pray prayers? Let us notice thirdly, very quickly, this was a prayer that was not only in secret, but it was a prayer that was sincere. Look at verse 42. And he cast himself down upon his knee, upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. Humility. He was broken in prayer. You see, earlier in the chapter, whenever he prayed, he was standing in front of the crowd. And all the people could hear him as he said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me." And God had called him to take that public stand for him and for the glory and the honor of his name. And God answered his prayer. But now he's not standing. He's on his knees. And his face is between his knees as he falls on the earth. He acknowledges the majesty and the holiness of God, friend. But he also acknowledges something else as he falls on his knees. His nothingness. You know, God's not going to answer your prayer if you're coming into God's presence, say, "Lord, and you've got to do this for me." See, every prayer that God answers ought to be this: "Lord, for thy glory. For thy glory." You see, even the salvation of your loved ones, friend. When you pray earnestly, not only are you praying, "God, keep them out of hell," but "God, save them for thy glory. Thy glory." Because his glory he'll give to none other. And there we see the mighty Elijah that stood on the top of the mountain, the fearless man in front of the crowd, and he makes that public prayer. And now he goes alone before God and he falls on his knees to the earth. And he puts his head between his knees and he acknowledges, "God, I'm nothing. I'm nothing." But he comes with humility. Just remember this morning. Not have I gotten, but what I received. God's grace, he gives me what I don't deserve. What I don't deserve. Thank God his mercy is, he doesn't give me what I do deserve. In the book of Genesis chapter 18, Abram answered and said, "Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." Lord, I'm nothing. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called thy servant. Do you remember what the prodigal, whenever he came home to the father, and he came home with a repentant heart, let me tell you, he didn't bounce into the father's presence and say, "Dad, I'm home. Your boy's home, Dad." No, no. No, friend, before he even got home, the father ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said this, "Father, I've sinned against you. And I'm not worthy to be called thy son." He intended to say, "Make me as one of your hired servants." He never could say it. Because the father, he said this, "My son, my son." Isn't it a great thing, friend? Isn't it a privilege to be able to say this? Now are we the sons of God. Do you see the privilege in that? Once you were a child of Satan. Once we were bound on our way to hell. Once we were bondage in our sin, just like every other man and every other woman. But God in grace and God in mercy stepped in. And God saved us and God changed us. And he gave us not only a new heart, a new nature. Thank God he gave us a new name. We're sons of the King. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What a privilege. But Elijah, he comes into the presence of God, acknowledging the awesome presence of God.
Now I hear some people talk about God, friend. Make you cringe. They talk about the man upstairs. Let me tell you, friend, whenever you and I acknowledge the glory of God, then we'll acknowledge, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm nothing, Lord. And anything I get, and Lord, anything you give, it's of your good favor. Yes, we are to come boldly unto the throne of grace, and there obtain mercy. But friend, come reverently and with humility. It was a prayer of humility. And then very quickly, it was a specific prayer. Know what he said? He asked the Lord as he fell on his face. He asked the Lord for rain. You say, how do I know that? It doesn't say that there. Well, then I turn to the book of James in chapter 5, and it says this. In verse 17, he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. He asked God specifically, Lord, send rain. Why? Because that's what God said he was going to do. That's what God says, I will send rain. And what we say, Lord, this is thy word. This is thy promise. I'm standing upon it. I'm resting upon it, Lord. Send the rain. He didn't say send the sunshine. He said, Lord, send rain. You know why? Because that's what they needed. That's exactly what they needed. Zechariah 10 verse 1 says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and send them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. You see, friend, that was the only answer. They needed rain. The ground was parched and dry. Barrenness and death was all around. They needed rain. Look around Ulster today. Friend, do you not see the barrenness? Do you not see the dryness? Do you not see it wasted? Do you not see men and women that are so caught up with themselves and materialism and all, it's all about them? No man can tell me what to do. Why? Because I is upon the throne. And they've turned their back on God. And friend, that's what happened. And that's why God shut up the heaven in the first place. The nation turned away from God to false gods. And I tell you, woe betide Ulster, because I can tell you, this nation, this land of ours, has got so self-sufficient of themselves, it's all about us. Do you remember what our father's slogan was? For God and Ulster. Isn't it interesting? The order. For God and Ulster. Because they knew that Ulster would be safe as long as God was in his proper place. And there was a reverence of God, and there was an awe of God, and the day of God, and the things of God, and the laws of God. But friend, let me tell you today, they just cast them all aside. And whenever you stand up for the word of God and try to take your stand for the things of God, my friend, they say, but that's old tap, that's past. That's the old days. We've moved on from there. That's what Israel thought they had. And God shut the heaven. Elijah, God's servant, you, Lord, we need the rain. We need the rain. And I trust and pray that God's children in this congregation will see the great need of the hour. We need to get back to God, friend. God's people need to get back to God. God's people need to get back to humility before God and see the need of the hour and realize that the only answer is God's blessing from heaven. And Elijah prayed, Lord, send the rain. Send the rain. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. See, specific. If a man, you know, is an archery, and he stands there, let me tell you this, and he just shoots up into the air, he's not going to hit the bullseye, is he? And many of God's people, that's the way they're praying. They're just shooting all around. They're never aiming at the target. Has God laid someone upon your heart, friend? Has God laid someone upon your heart? Then, friend, keep praying. Pray specifically. Whenever I heard my mother pray, I heard her pray for her children. And you know what she didn't say? She didn't say, Lord, bless all my children and keep your hand upon them. No, friend, she went down every one of us, one by one. One by one. It was specific in prayer. But notice something else very quickly. It was fervent in prayer. In the book of James, in the chapter 5, it says this. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, friend, there was nothing shallow about this prayer. Elijah meant business with God. Do you remember Jacob? Remember Jacob in Genesis chapter 32? Remember when he was left alone? He didn't go over the river, but he let the others go on, and he was alone there. And as he was there before God, and it says this, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. The angel of the Lord said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Lord, I need a blessing. How much are you desirous for God to bless you? What, my friend, are you willing to do? The Bible says in the Bible times they fasted and they prayed before the Lord. Tell me, what are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to sacrifice and give up for God, friend? Even legitimate things, to spend time before God in prayer and to plead with God, in earnestness. Oh God, more than anything else, we need the rain. More than anything else, oh God, this land needs thee. Oh God, come. Come, give us a blessing. Pour out the abundance of rain. But notice, as he fell on his knees, go back to 1 Kings 18, it says this. Verse 43. And he said to his servant, go up now. Look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Look toward the sea. Now, why did he say that? Because you see, friend, this prayer was accompanied by watchfulness, expectancy, expecting God to send the rain. Now tell me, when you get up from your knees in prayer, friend, are you expecting God to do anything? Are you expecting God to bless? Before you come into the gospel meeting, are you expecting God to move? He said to his servant, he said, go up. In other words, watch. That's not what Jesus said to his disciples. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Look toward the sea. What was he looking for, friend? He's looking for the answer. He's looking for the answer. You know, the servant came back to him. You know, the servant said, he says, there's nothing. Let me tell you, friend, there's an awful lot of God's people, and that's what they're getting, nothing, because they're expecting nothing. So they mustn't be disappointed when God doesn't do anything. But what about Elijah? You know what Elijah said? What did Elijah say? He says, go again. Go again! And he came back and he said, there's nothing. He says, go again. Because he had the spirit of expectancy. There was perseverance in prayer. He didn't let go the first time he prayed. And then the servant came back and said, there's nothing. He didn't say, so what's the use? I may as well give up. There's some of God's people, let me tell you, and that's how they're living today. They've given up. And God sending the rain on Newton Arch again. God pouring out of his spirit. God filling these seats. They've given up on it. God forgive us. God says, I will send the rain. Go through with God thy vows to pay. Then all upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest. And he'll give to you his very best. Hallelujah. He's not a miserable God. He says, I will pour out blessing. I'll pour out the rain, the showers upon a thirsting dry land. And when the servant said, there is nothing, Elijah says, go again. And it says he went seven times. And when he came the seventh time, he said this, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. And it's so small, it's just like a man's hand. That's not how Elijah saw it, friend. Elijah says, go up to Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And he said, the heaven was black with clouds and winds, and there was a great rain. God answered prayer. Now, friend, do you believe that? You believe he's the God who still answers prayer? See, if you don't, well, then what are you praying for? In actual fact, you're not praying. Because you've got to pray in faith, believing. They that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, brethren and sisters, start this new year by believing that not only God is able, but God's willing to send the rain. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal. George Mueller, he had his homes for the children. Read his story, friend. And he had hundreds and hundreds of children in those homes, and he never asked man for a penny. The only one he asked. And God met. But he prayed for 52 years for two friends. And he never gave up. And joy comes. God answers prayer. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we bow before thee this morning, we worship thee as the great God of heaven and earth, the one who made everything, the one to whom we owe everything, even the very breath within our bodies, even our bodies themselves. But, O God, we thank thee that there are those in the service this morning can say, but thou art my God, for we are thy children, washed in the Saviour's precious blood, born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray this first Sabbath morning for Newton Arch, that you'll send him a man of thy choice, full of the Holy Ghost and power. But, O God, even beyond of that, O God, come thyself and send the abundance of revival rain. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to turn to him. as we close this morning, as we come to the Lord's table, and then after singing the first verse, those who have to leave can feel free to do so. Alas, and did my Saviour bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Remember, we owe everything we have to what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. We're reconciled to God through the blood of his cross. Help me, dear Saviour, thee to own, and ever faithful be. God, help us to be faithful this year. 107.